Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Leviticus this morning. When you think of Leviticus, typically you think of animal sacrifice, but we're not going to do any of that blood and gut stuff this morning. Aren't you glad? Leviticus, yeah, no kidding. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 4. Leviticus. It says, "Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." Let me read that again. "Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." Now, it's interesting that God set up seasons, and we're all familiar with seasons. We have winter, spring, summer, fall. And with those seasons, we have weather patterns. We have rain, April showers bring May flowers, right? And of course, there is what is known as the latter rain, when you have rain in the fall, and these water the trees and they bring fruit in their due season. And life is a lot like this. God gives us seasons of life. And oftentimes we may be in the midst of a drought and we wonder, where is God? But God said, "I will give you rain in due season." Amen. I think most of us are familiar with the prophecies of Joel, where Joel says, makes reference to the former and the latter rain. And in this rain, he is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is often compared to an outpour of rain. And we know the former rain was in Acts 2:1 on the day of Pentecost. There was 120 in an upper room, all in one accord, praying. As Jesus told them to do, he didn't say, "Go preach." He said, "Go wait." You can never preach without the help of the Holy Spirit. You wait on the Spirit. You wait on the outpouring of the rain of God's Spirit. And then Joel said there would be a latter rain. And that latter rain is compared to another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, those 120 went out, and pretty soon they became 5,000. Only God can do that kind of multiplication. There's all kinds of church growth things that I've read about church growth. I really think we just need to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and let God do the multiplying, don't you? But we come to seasons in our life. And most of us are familiar with Solomon's ecclesiastical take on seasons. He says in Ecclesiastes 3, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted." I don't know what year it was when somebody planted those trees in the backyard of our old house in Tahlequah. And, you know, I meant to go out and count the tree rings to see how big those massive trees were that were dead, that I had to pay a pile of money to people who do that kind of stuff to cut down those big dead trees before we sold the house. So I don't know when the time was they planted them, but those were some pretty big trees if you saw the stumps. Rick's nodding his head. And so there's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up, which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Verse 4 tells us there's a time to weep. We'd like to skip those seasons in our life, but God doesn't let us skip those seasons in our life. And for those of us who have lost a parent, we're quite familiar with those seasons. But there's also a time to laugh. And there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. Some of us dance better than others. God didn't say dance well, he just said dance. that makes me think of when King David was coming in and they were bringing in the ark, and all the ladies had their tambourines and everyone was praising God, and the Holy Spirit came on David. That's the best time to dance. I heard an evangelist say one time, there are some churches that tell you shouldn't dance, but when you get the Holy Spirit, you can dance. You just change partners. And the Holy Spirit came on King David, and he began to dance. He began to dance before the Lord. It's a kind of a dance that is not a two-step or a waltz. It is just sheer joy. Amen. Verse 5, it tells us there's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We call that boundaries. Time to get, time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away. Before we made our move last summer to our new house in Fort Gibson, I had the cassette tape of every Faith Fellowship sermon I preached. Man, they've been sitting here collecting dust for how many years? Time to cast them away. I preached them. They've been preached. Cast them away. There's a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent. I need to work on that one, by the way. A time to speak. And verse 8 that tells us there's a time to love and a time to hate. That doesn't sound like it ought to be in the Bible, does it? Well, you know, we're not supposed to hate anybody. I think that kind of goes with boundaries. We don't really hate people. But there is a difference between real love and sloppy agape. There's a time of war and a time of peace. David said, is there not a cause? Sometimes there is a cause for war. We don't want war. And so we are people of seasons in our life. Seasons of mourning and seasons of dancing, seasons of laughing, seasons of crying. And they come at God's appointed times, not mine. God is in control of the seasons, and God is in control of the seasons of my life. In Deuteronomy 28:12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heavens to give you rain for your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hands so that you will lend to many nations and not borrow. That was God's will for Israel, and that is God's will for us. Amen? To lend and not borrow, to be a blessing to others. God doesn't bless us so that we can hoard it up for ourselves, or the winds of season may change. Now, we come to an interesting chapter in the history of Israel in 1 Kings. Chapter 8, verse 35 and 36. He says, when the heaven is shut up, this is at the dedication of the temple, when Solomon's temple, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, and God can certainly cause a drought in our life because of sin. And Solomon is saying, and if they pray toward this place, talking about the temple, and confess your name and turn from their sins when they've been afflicted by you, then hear, O God, from heaven, and forgive the sins of your servants and your people Israel, that you teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which you've given to the people for an inheritance. And so sometimes we see that the spiritual droughts in our life are because of sin. God said in the book of Isaiah, my arm is not so short that I can't reach you, and neither is my ear waxed cold that I can't hear you, but your sins have separated you from me. And when we come to that place where we say, yes, Lord, I did it again, please forgive me, then God is free to pour out the rain of His Spirit in our lives and bring healing. Amen. And then we come to 1 Kings 17, Elijah, you know, the great prophet Elijah. He was a hairy man, the Bible says. I don't know if hair has anything to do with anointing. I remember I had a mustache when I used to do children's church at Calvary Assembly of God over here on the bypass. I didn't have my little goatee, but I had a mustache. And one day I shaved off my mustache, and Brother Moon said, Brother Roger, you shaved off your anointing. So apparently he thought hair was associated with anointing. I should be more anointed than I was then, now, I would think. Do what, Violet? I'm not losing any. That's your dad you're talking about. Elijah the Tishbite was one of the inhabitants of Gilead, and he came to Ahab. Now, Ahab was the most wicked king in the history of Israel. He and his wife Jezebel plunged Israel into horrendous, wicked idolatry. They committed great acts of atrocity, murder. They were not good people. And Elijah came to Ahab, and he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain in these years, but according to my word. Now, that takes a lot of cojones to say that. You better have heard from God. And yet we find in the book of James, it tells us that Elijah was a man of like passion. That means he had the same hang-ups as you and I. Sometimes we elevate these men of God on pillars that we think we could never be like them, and then the New Testament brings them down to our level and says, Elijah was just like you and me. And then he walked with God. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And the Bible says in the next verse, or verse 7 of that chapter, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Sometimes we don't know when it happens. Maybe we violate some biblical principle. Maybe our faith gets misdirected from Christ, who should be the center. And we may experience a spiritual drought. It says it came to pass after a while the brook dried up. We tend to sometimes think that we can live on yesterday's manna, but manna was given to be taken daily, except for the Sabbath. The day before, they would have enough for 2 days. And so we try to live on the pastor's sermon or our Bible verse we read last Tuesday. We wonder why the brook dries up. But God wants our brook not to dry up. He wants us to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis in a supernatural way. But sometimes it's not our fault. In the case of these children of Israel, it was the wicked leadership of Ahab and Jezebel that caused all the people to experience the drought. And sometimes it may not be our fault, but God knows those who are His. And even in the midst of bad times, God will take care of His own. Amen. Which brings us to the interesting story in 1 Kings 17 about the widow woman. There was a widow woman who was walking along picking up sticks. And the Holy Spirit led Elijah, the prophet, to this widow woman. We do not know what happened to her husband. We simply know that she was a widow. The Bible talks about how God is a father to the fatherless and a husband to widows. God has a special place in His heart for those who do not have a preordained person to help them along the way, husband or wife. I think it could go either way. And God loves those people in a special way, and God was watching out for this widow woman and sent Elijah to her. Now, she's picking up sticks to build a fire because she has just enough oil and just enough meal to make two little pancakes for her and her son, and then there will be no more. It is their last meal, and she knows that death is days away because of the drought. And Elijah comes to her, and he has the audacity to say to the widow woman, "Make me a pancake." And she says to him, "As the Lord lives, all I have is enough meal to make one pancake for me and one for my son, and then we're going to die because there is no more." And he says, "Woman, just make me a pancake first and see what happens." You know, oftentimes the reason we don't experience the seasons that we want in life is because we are not willing to let go of what we have. We think that we're playing it safe by holding on to what little we have, when we give it to God, God has the ability to multiply. God has the ability to supply our needs. I remember years ago, I don't often get to go to things like this, but I made the time. I took off work and I went to a minister's conference. It was at the Maybe Center. And there was lots of great speakers there. Unfortunately, there are those speakers who tend to want to talk about money. Now, I believe in the process of sowing and giving, but there's been many of them that have given the topic a bad name. You know what I'm talking about. And so even as people of faith, when you hear these messages, you immediately, or at least for me, my shields go up. Is this a shyster, or is he for real? And the problem is, it's not my place to judge. It's God's. So in this minister's conference, I had some needs in my life. And I had some cash in my wallet. And my shields went up. Shyster, 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 you know. And then the Lord began to deal with me. And I said, "Okay. You know, Lord, you always take care of my needs. I'm going to put you to the test. It doesn't matter whether this guy's a shyster or not, because I'm not giving it to him. I'm giving it to you." So I don't remember how much it was. It was $100, I think. It was somewhere around there, and that was a lot to me. And they made everybody walk down the steps of the Maybe Center and bring it. They didn't bring the buckets around, you know, and so I had to walk all the way down and put the money in the bucket. And it was about a week later, and I got a check in the mail. And I did the dance that we talked about earlier. It was a season of my life where I put God to the test, and he showed me what he can do when we don't hold on, but we give. So the widow woman did what the man of God said, and he made her, she made him this pancake, and he ate. And the Bible tells us that the barrel of meal, Elijah said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, and neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So, the whole nation of Israel is going through a drought because of the wicked leadership, but this woman, because she trusted God and sowed and gave, never missed a meal while others were starving around her. Now, there may have been other stories the Bible doesn't record, but the point is it recorded that one for you and I to be reminded that regardless of the season of life that we are in, God will hear and answer our prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. So finally it comes to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord comes to Elijah in the third year. So it's been 3 years of drought, and he says, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now, a lot of people think that it's just the lay people that get tested by faith, but God tests preachers all the time, because he said, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and then I will send rain." Now, in case you don't remember the story, Ahab wanted to kill Elijah because of the rain. So this was a test of faith to Elijah to go walk into the man that wants to kill you and show yourself before the rain would come. That's kind of a catch-22. Ahab wants the rain, and Ahab wants to kill Elijah. Now, if it was you or I, we may say, "Lord, that man wants to kill me. Isn't there any other way we can get rain?" But of course, that's what made Elijah the man of God that he was. He didn't even question it. He just did what God said, which brings us to the point that obedience to God's word brings seasons of blessings, and disobedience does not. And we read in 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said to Ahab when he went there, "Get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance rain." Abundance of rain. A sound of abundance of rain. What is that? Has it started raining yet? No. Do you hear the rain coming? No, I don't hear anything. He's not talking about a sound that you and I can hear. He's talking about something spiritual. See, long before it ever happens, there is the anointing of the miracle. A good example is when Jesus has just ministered to all these people that are sitting on the countryside, and they say, "You got to send these people home. They're hungry. They haven't eaten all day." And Jesus says, "You feed them." And they look at, "What are you talking about, boss? I ain't got no food." And then they say, "There's a little lad here with some bread and fish. Got a little fish and chips in a bag." And Jesus hears the sound of abundance of rain. It's an anointing. I got a feeling, I always see Jesus, when he hears that, square his shoulders and say, "Tell the crowd to sit down. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain." It's an anointing of a miracle that's about to happen. There is a miracle in the wind. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So here we enter the faith factor. In verse 44, well, before I read verse 44, let me set it up. Elijah now tells his servants, "Go down to the beach and look out over the ocean and tell me what you see." Now, he's already said that rain is coming. "Tell me what you see." The servant says, "Boss, I went down there and I don't see anything." Now, sometimes God likes to test our faith. We want to see it. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So the servant comes back and says, "There's not a cloud in the sky." Elijah said, "Well, I guess God's not going to answer." No, he didn't say that, did he? He says, "Well, go back and look again." "Okay, boss." He walks all the way down to the shore and looks out over the sea. Not a cloud in the sky. Comes back, "Boss, there's no cloud." "Well, go back and look again." Well, I tell you, sometimes we give up after two prayers or three. Number four, "Go back and look it again." Number five, "Go back and look it again." Number six, "Go back and look again." Now here we are, verse 44. "And it came to pass at the seventh time." Everybody say seventh time. Don't you pray and say, "Well, God's not real. He didn't answer my prayer." God's not on your timetable. He's on his. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a what? Like a man's hand. I see this cloud, but it's just, I haven't seen anything seven times. Okay, there's a little cloud. And he says, Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get down, that the rain doesn't stop you. The torrential flood of water doesn't stop you. You better get to where you're going now, because the roads are going to be flooded, Ahab. There is coming a rain. And in verse 45, the next verse, And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens were black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Amen? A great rain. You know, God is wanting to send a great rain on my life and yours. But there are principles that we have to follow. We need to seek the Lord. We need to have faith. We need to pray more than once and not give up. And the seasons are in God's hands. Hallelujah. Sometimes we ask things and we don't get an answer because it's not the season. In 1995, I asked the Lord why my grandmother was suffering in a nursing home when she had served him all her life. And I just felt it was wrong that God wouldn't take her home and give her her reward. And in 2012 or 13, while at a camp meeting in Baton Rouge, the Lord answered me as if I had just asked him that from 1995 to then. And he said, I was waiting on you. I knew exactly what he's talking about, you know, because the Lord can bring it right to your brain, that prayer. I was waiting on you. And she died a year later, and by a year later, I was in Tahlequah to preach her funeral. But the Lord was waiting on me. Sometimes he's waiting on you. When you're asking God why he's not doing something, he's waiting on you. And so there are different seasons. Job said, They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. Oh, Lord, we are opening our mouth wide. I think most of us can quote Psalms chapter 1, Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper, because he is like that tree planted by the rivers of water. And yet he brings forth his fruit in his season. You know, we sometimes pray, God, fix me, I'm broken, I should love people more, and I get irritated at them, and you know, and God wants to do that, but the fruit will come in God's time, in God's season. We have to wait on the Lord. And sometimes they can seem so far away. Another story from 1 Kings, from the prophets, those great prophets in 1 and 2 Kings, was when the woman was barren and wanted a son, and Elisha told her about this season according to the time of life. In other words, next year you will embrace a son. And she says, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, don't lie to your handmaiden. And sometimes we can look down the road, and God will say, you know, it's going to come. You just got to wait a little longer. It's not your time yet. The season will come. Those prayers will be answered, and they seem so impossible. And you want to say, Lord, quit lying to me. I've been praying for 15 years for this thing, and I haven't seen it. But we got to understand that the seasons are in God's hand. And the source, of course, is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, worlds without end. Amen. Amen, Paul. Understand, He can do it. He's got this. Jesus has got it. I just need to wait on my season. A lot of times we've sang this song, the source is Ezekiel of all places. You don't think of songs coming from the book of Ezekiel 34:26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the showers to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessings. Showers of blessings. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Nola. And so, what season are you in? Maybe you're in the dried up river season. Maybe you're in the dance season. Maybe you're in the mourn season. But we know the source of the change of seasons is still the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still on the throne, and prayer still changes things. And so, let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for this season of our life. We thank you, Lord, for supplying our needs and some of our wants. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for any sins, even the ones that we do not know that we committed, because we know that those will stop up the rain in our lives. We need the rain of your Spirit to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, that we might exhibit love and joy and peace and long-suffering or patience with others. We need the joy of your Spirit. We want to sing again. We want to dance. We've mourned. We've been discouraged. We've had our valleys. And we're ready for a change. As we have passed here in Oklahoma through another winter and we've entered into a very warm spring, we know that change is inevitable. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Maybe it will be a blessing, and maybe will be a tear. We can't predict the future. We can just prepare for the future. For as Ecclesiastes tells us, there's even a time to be born and a time to die. And so, Lord, let us not be so ignorant. Bury our head in the sand. Let us be prepared for whatever season may come, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Talk about a season. But now is set at the right hand of the throne of Almighty God. Lord, thank you today for our lives, for the valleys, the tears, the joy. We pray, Lord, that you would help us be prepared for whatever season may come. We ask, Lord, for the showers of blessings that you give to those that are yours as we seek your face, as we abide in the vine, as we draw near to you and your promises that you would draw near to us and bring those showers of blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know Showers of Blessings?
I do, but I don't have it.
That's all right.
I sing it a cappella.
I don't even know the words, so you can sing it a cappella.
They're probably in the book.
There will be showers of blessings. That's all I know. Well, let's sing our regular. Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's all right. Oh, let the sun,
oh, let the sun of God enfold you. with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and the Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lips.
Oh, yes, Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We are going to break here and have our voting and then lunch. Amen. So if you haven't gotten your rocket up there, get it up there now because it's time to vote.